Folks, listen to me. There's not a week that goes by hardly in the ministry in this community that somebody does not justify and explain what is pure sexual immorality in the name of love. The compromise here is so incredible. This world has gone bonkers for sexual immorality. They don't call it sexual immorality anymore. But God still calls it that, and we ought to also.
It's a blessing to have you with us for the Thursday broadcast of Hope for Today. We're living in an age that has gutted the fear of God. It's shrunk God's glory down to human size and turned his name into something, you know, casual, safe, manageable, and even dismissible. But the God of the Bible is not safe. He's not common, and he's not to be treated like he belongs at the mercy of man. He is holy, blazingly pure, utterly separate from sin. He's glorious, fearsome, and above all things, high above all things. Today, Bible teacher David Hawking returns with day two of his message called The Holiness of God. If your view of God has been a little small, maybe too soft or too tame, stay tuned. We're going back into the Word of God to study the holiness of God as our series on the attributes of God continues. Stay tuned. First, remember that if you miss any part of a Hope for Today broadcast, you can listen again online at our website, davidhawking.org. On the website, you can also access other study resources while you're at it. That includes free downloadable books and booklets right on our homepage, as well as the Hope for Today Media Center, where strong Bible teaching on video is available to help you grow in the Word of God. And boy, these study materials are available around the world, and they're made possible by the ongoing generosity of listening friends like you. And on that note, would you prayerfully consider a quick gift to help us keep making these resources available and keep this broadcast going forward? Your support helps put sound Bible teaching into hungry hands and hearts. For more information or to make a donation, call 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253. You can also donate on our website, davidhawking.com. And here's David with day two on the holiness of God.
Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 4, it says, coming to him, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Stop right there. You know, I understand why Martin Luther had such a problem. I really do. Martin Luther, at the time of the Reformation, was an Augustinian monk. By the way, he died an Augustinian monk. And he wrote a lot of things about the church needing to be reformed. There were three basic tenets that caused the Protestant Reformation. One was the authority of Scripture over the authority of the church. Number two was justification by faith alone, not by works. But the third one is the one that believers today don't know much about, but was indeed the most controversial and the straw that broke the camel's back. And it was a treatise that Martin Luther wrote on the priesthood of the believer. For 1,000 years, as many of you who have been to school and studied it know, we had a period of time we call the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages. There was a separation between priests and people. And Martin Luther, through his study of the Scripture, came to the conviction that every believer is a priest, that we do not need to go through men who are priests. Behind this was a theological problem that exists to this day, not only in the Roman Catholic Church, but in many Protestant denominations, because they equate Israel and the church as one and the same. Therefore, pastors are the same as priests. Therefore, there's a division between clergy and laity. I just want everybody to know that the principle of the Protestant Reformation, the principle that should characterize every believing, Bible-believing church, is that everybody, including the pastor and the people in the pew, are priests. And we can all go directly to God and don't need to go through any other human agency. And that way has been prepared for us by Jesus Christ our Lord. We have access into the very presence of God because he died on the cross for us. He is our sacrifice. He is our atonement. He is the mercy seat. He's all of it. And we now have entered into the veil, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10. And we can talk to God directly because of what Jesus did. What I'm here to tell you and me is that God calls his church priests and says we are holy priests. We have lost the sense of that. We like the fact that everybody's a priest can do what he wants, we think. But what God calls it is a holy priesthood. Turn please to Revelation chapter 15. When we speak of the nature of God's holiness, it refers to his unique person, his exalted position, the places where he dwells, his special people, his designated priests. It also refers to his remarkable power. God is holy. His power is separate from any power you've ever seen or understood. Any explanation you've ever given does not adequately explain the power of God. And I'm going to show you something I think is really special in Revelation chapter 15. The scene is heaven. Verse 1 says that the seven last plagues are the attention of this moment. In them the wrath of God is complete. They sing the song of Moses, verse 3, and the song of the Lamb. And here's what it says. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, all-powerful. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. What caused the people of heaven to declare the holiness of God in seeing the power of God displayed in the tribulation period? Because it was holy. It was separate from anything they had ever seen before. The power of God is separate, folks. Isn't it interesting how we have analyzed earthquakes today in the science of seismology? We're even talking about predicting them. We're getting a handle on it, we're told. And I say, praise the Lord, may that continue for the protection of us all. But I want you to know that God's going to do something in the tribulation period that's going to blow the science of seismology to kingdom come. He's going to have an earthquake on this planet like the world has never seen or ever measured. The Bible says that every island and mountain is going to be removed out of its place. All of the cities of the nations will fall. The Bible says in the Old Testament, describing this event, that it's like God taking the planet in his hands and giving it a shaking. The entire globe will have one massive earthquake. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. There'll be worldwide panic, and they will know it comes from God because it is unlike anything they've seen before. And all heaven breaks out in praise because you alone, Lord, are holy. That's only one example. The tribulation period and that holocaust of terror that God will bring on the earth is going to be the greatest demonstration of the power of God the world has ever seen. And they will know he is holy in his power. Turn, please, to Psalm 89. It not only refers to his remarkable power, but his holiness also refers to his faithful promises. God is different from anybody you have ever known and loved who made a promise to you. You say, oh, well, I knew somebody like that. He always did what he said. Well, God's even better than that. He not only doesn't go back on his word, he never makes it conditional. He does it no matter what you do. Psalm 89, verse 30 says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, and I'd like to add, they did not. If they break my statutes and did not keep my commandments, and that was certainly true of them also. They didn't keep them, they broke them. Then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. And he did that and judged them. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my what? Holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. Presumably, the rainbow and the flood is mentioned there. Psalm 60, verse 6 says, God has spoken in his holiness. God is so separate, so different, so unique, that whatever he promises will come true no matter what happens in anybody's life. Aren't you glad of that? Heaven and earth may pass away, my words will never pass away. You say, well, what if I can't keep holding on? No sweat. No problem to God whatsoever. God's holding on to you, by the way, if you're a believer, so don't worry about it. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And it just amuses me how often I hear somebody say, well, what if you could jump out of his hand? Jump out of his hand? The whole universe is in his hand. Where are you going to go? You might move from knuckle to knuckle. You're not getting out. Talk about security. Isn't it wonderful? Nothing can alter the word of God. Why? Because he swore by his what? Holiness. You see, he's separate from man who changes, who makes things conditional, doesn't keep his word. God always keeps his word. Hebrews 6, a sure anchor to the soul. It says it's impossible for God to lie, that by these immutable things, unchangeable things, the character of God and the word of God, we know that everything God promised will come to pass. Hallelujah. Imagine it being in a ministry where everything was dependent on your performance. Unfortunately, some churches teach that. No wonder people are so insecure. Turn, please, to Leviticus chapter 19. When we talk about the nature of God's holiness, it refers to his unique person, his exalted position, the specific places where he dwells, his special people, his designated priests, his remarkable power, his faithful promises. But it also refers to his absolute purity, which is what most people think of when they hear the word holy. Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Then it goes on to tell you what you ought not to do. Chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves. That's the word. Be holy. Therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 26. You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 in the New Testament. When God talks about holiness, he tells us about things he doesn't want us to do. The holiness of God refers to his absolute purity. He cannot sin. There is no sin in him. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The absolute purity of God. And we've talked about the nature of God's holiness. For a few moments, I want us to reflect on why we need God's holiness in our life. It should be obvious. If you're a believer, I believe that you want to know about God. I mean, you really do. Even if you're not, a lot of people who are unbelievers like to know about God. We like to see, at least with our mind's eye, and understand about who God is, how he functions, how he works, so we know how to relate to him. And it seems such a tragedy to me that a lot of us, in trying to know that, do not see where the problem lies. In Hebrews 12, 14, it tells us to pursue holiness without which no one can see the Lord. We want to see, at least with our mind's eye, with our heart, we want to understand who God is and how he works. Yet the Bible says, pursue holiness, because without that, you can't see him. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In our concern to see and know and understand the Lord, I say to all of us, we need holiness. Number two, in addition to our concern to see the Lord, we got the whole matter of our conversion. You cannot be converted to Jesus Christ without holiness. It's impossible. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, such were some of you, but you were sanctified. The word means declared holy. God made you holy. By what? By the work of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the following things are necessary to make you holy in your conversion. Jesus Christ himself. Apart from Jesus Christ, I don't stand a chance. He is my holiness. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He's my holiness. Number two, I need the Holy Spirit. According to the Bible, sanctification or holiness happens in our hearts when we're converted by the Holy Spirit of God. You'll find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Sanctification is by means of the work of the Holy Spirit. He causes us to be made holy. 3, I need the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9 and 10, it tells me that that sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Christ, is what sanctifies, makes me holy once and for all. Not only do I need Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ at His cross, I need also the Word of God. Jesus, in His prayer to His Heavenly Father in John 17, said, sanctify them, make them holy through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Ephesians 5 says that God wants to cleanse and sanctify the church by the washing of water of the Word. It is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses, talking about Jesus and His death on the cross. All is essential to my holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. In my conversion, I need holiness. In my commitment to serve God and to worship Him, I need to be holy. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy, acceptable, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. You want to serve God? That's wonderful. We need holiness to serve God. In our communication of love and affection to other believers, we need holiness. There's nothing as awful as attending a church that's cold and dead and unresponsive. The last time they smiled was when the doctor pulled their lips up. You know what I mean? I don't like church like that. There ought to be a smile on our faces if it's physically possible. There ought to be joy in our hearts. We've come to worship the Lord. There should be wonderful fellowship, and we're to express our love for each other. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. God doesn't want us to be cold and apathetic and indifferent to each other, but God also wants us to be careful. He wants us to be holy. And in our communication of love and affection to other believers, we're to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, verse 11, may our God and Father Himself and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your holiness, your sanctification. What is that? That you should abstain from sexual immorality. He starts out by saying, I want you to love each other. We need to love each other. But watch out. Abstain from sexual immorality. Verse 7, God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, He who rejects us does not reject man, but God, who has also given us His Holy Spirit. Folks, listen to me. The compromise here is so incredible. Kids are having sex with each other before marriage, all in the name of we love each other. We're not hurting anybody. You're hurting yourself. And it's unholy. God wants you to be separate. God's not trying to keep you from having fun or be satisfied. God knows how you work. God knows how you function physically, emotionally, spiritually. He wants you to be happier than you could ever possibly imagine. And He knows what it takes. This world has gone bonkers for sexual immorality. They don't call it sexual immorality anymore. But God still calls it that, and we ought to also. My dear friends, we have never lived in a day like today when there's such a need for holiness in our communication of love and affection to each other. We need holiness, and God says so frequently. Turn, please, to 1 Peter 1 again. We also need it in our conduct before God and others. We need to be holy in whatever we do. The Bible says in verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, whatever you do, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. In our conduct, we need to be holy. Now, folks, I hear this, and sometimes I wonder if we can do anything about it.
You're listening to Hope for Today, the Bible teaching ministry of David Hawking. David returns in just a moment with some final words in a very special time of prayer to wrap up what we've studied today. So stay tuned for that. First, Matt's in studio with me now, and we're going to share a great resource, a Bible study resource, with you.
In moments of heartache, disappointments, trials, and discouragement, most people want to know if there is a God who understands our feelings and cares about us.
Matt, so many are enduring seasons of tremendous trial, and even a seasoned believer can struggle.
Well, knowing and thoroughly understanding who God is, according to the Bible, makes all the difference.
Amen.
And the fact is, if our knowledge of God is lacking and our focus drifts away from Him, our total perspective in life can turn to self-sufficiency.
Very little comfort or hope there, is there?
Right.
And think about a time when your dreams were shattered, goals unrealized.
Well, it's at those times, Jim, that a certain emptiness remains that only God can fill.
Well, inside the God of the Bible, David Hocking shows us how the big questions are answered satisfactorily only when we root our understanding,
our perspective and outlook.
Exactly. Right. In the presence and existence of God.
God really does exist. He is personal and knowable, and He is the God of the Bible.
Well, this month we're featuring The God of the Bible by David Hocking. It's just $20.
Yes, deepen, expand, broaden your understanding of the God of the Bible.
And watch your faith take off.
Amen, and add to the lessons you're hearing during our current radio series.
We also want to tell you about our new bundle pack for April. Listen, for $75, you can receive all of David's sermon notes and outlines from his message series through all 27 books of the New Testament. Call 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada, and Bible is 24253. And as you order, would you prayerfully consider a gift of support, a donation, aside from any resource purchase you might make? To make a donation, write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S 8P1. And here's David.
People have told me for many years that you cannot possibly be holy. They say the only way we can be holy is through Jesus Christ. I agree. There is a position of holiness. What I'm confronting us all with, is there a practice of holiness? Yes, I know that in my standing before God, I am made holy only by the work of Christ. But I want to ask you about your present state as a believer. Do you have a responsibility to be holy in your life? Was God tricking us when He said, "You be holy, because I'm holy"? Is that an impossibility and they were just words? And how about 2 Corinthians 7? In chapter 6, verse 14, He tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In verse 17, He says, "Come out from among them and be separate." That's holiness, separation. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Is there some filthiness of the spirit and disposition or attitude in your heart? Is there some bitterness or resentment or complaint? God says, "You clean it up." Is there something we're doing in our lifestyle that is demonstrating the lust of the flesh? Clean it up. Perfect or bring to a completion holiness in the fear of God, recognizing your accountability to God. Yes, friends, among believers, there is to be a practical holiness where we cleanse ourselves, where we get right with God. There's nobody who's going to cause you to stop sinning but you. The good news is that the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're going to finally be holy. Amen. Praise the Lord. God says you'll be holy and blameless at the second coming of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'd cause the believers here to rush to it frequently, to think what you would think about sin, to say what you would say, to do what you would do. Lord, I pray for those in our audience who perhaps have thought that becoming a Christian is simply a matter of our own doing and performance. God, deliver them from that and help them to understand that sinful people can only possibly approach a holy God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who made the way possible by His own shed blood. Thank you that we have forgiveness of sin and access into the presence of God through His work. Lord, I pray for people in this audience that are not sure of their relationship to you, that you would cause them by your Holy Spirit to flee to the Lord Jesus before it's too late. And Lord, we who are believers, we are in serious need. Oh God, convict us of sin. May there be a holy desire to get right with you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, David. And before we go, we want to remind you about some resources that could be a real help if you're not saved, if you're not yet a Christian, or you really don't know what it means to be a Christian, or you're not sure of where you stand with God. Get in touch with us and ask for What is Christianity and a Bible Study by Mail. These resources were put together to help you understand the gospel. That is what it means to know Jesus Christ according to the Bible. And if you already know the Lord, but you've drifted away from Him, you've grown cold in your faith, and you need to come back, we recommend to you a booklet by our good friend Richard E. Bennett. It's called Revival Now. Revival Now is a strong call to return to the Lord with repentance, humility, and obedience, and renewed hope. Download Revival Now on our website, davidhawking.org. Or to get What is Christianity and the Bible Study by Mail, call 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. The Bible, again, is 24253. Well, join us next time for Day 1 of David's message, The Worship of God, here on Hope for Today.